Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you as we continue to worship you and ask in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, that we would hear that still small voice. And God, we pray that you would draw us closer to yourself, ever closer to yourself today and in this hour. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet with sermon notes that you can take. On the back side of it is some devotions that follow along with this week's sermon. Also, if you're listening online, there's a PDF file next to the audio download with the sermon notes on it that you can download. You've no doubt heard the phrase, life is a journey. Life is a journey. And life is indeed a journey. From the time of conception all the way through, well, you would say death, right? But through eternity, life is a journey. And on this journey, here in this life, so many things can happen. In the news this week, in an incident in New York that happened, leaves many people scratching their heads and saying, what was this all about? A guy in New York said he heard voices in his head and then proceeded to ram people with his car on the sidewalk, killing one and injuring 22 others. We have to note that not only are we on a journey, but other people are on a journey too. Not only are we on a journey, but other people are on a journey. And in our journeys, people will impact others. On our journey, people will impact others for either good or for bad. For either good or for bad. When I was in seminary, I drove a school bus, and one morning I was stopped at an intersection waiting for the light to change as dawn was giving away to the light. I had just crossed the main drag of town and headed toward the middle school to drop off some kids. Now, the cross street was also a two-lane road with two left-hand turn lanes. I could see the light changing yellow when the car to my right started to advance into the turn. And then all of a sudden, the car from the left decided it could go through. And bam! Hit that car as she was turning. The person in the car that did the hitting wasn't moving. Or that was hit, wasn't moving. The person driving the car that did the hitting got out of their car and sat on the grass looking stunned. You could say that these two people's journey had intersected. But not only did it impact them, it impacted me too. Of course, I radioed to the bus garage about the accident and told them to call 911. And then I waited for the light to change. So understand, I was waiting for the light to change and traffic to clear so I could take my busload of kids to school and then get to seminary for class. It seemed to me the lady on the right thought she could turn left on the yellow, but the lady coming through the other way thought she could get through the intersection on the yellow. But as we all know, two vehicles cannot take up the same space at the same time without a problem. I was confused on the matter as I thought about it. If asked by the police, I wouldn't be able to describe the events that would tell the complete story. I couldn't say necessarily who was at fault. Have you ever been there before? You're going about life and you see something happen, and although you saw it, you couldn't quite make complete sense out of it. You needed someone else to talk it over with, to help you to understand what you're even saying at points. I mean, I can't imagine being on the sidewalk in New York where you've walked safely to work hundreds, if not thousands of times. And all of a sudden, people ahead of you are shouting. And you look further up the walk and suddenly you see a car steaming down the sidewalk, speeding your way as people scatter for safety, and those not scattering bouncing off the vehicle. It would be hard to make sense of what you're seeing right away. Hopefully instincts kick in and you get out of the way. And then later you need to process what occurred so you can make sense of what had happened. So you connect with another on their journey to help you understand. And oftentimes the best person to chat with is someone else who's experienced the same thing or same type of thing. You see, they would understand. And through this all, we must note that all people are on a journey and we can impact them for good or bad. That all people are on a journey and we can impact them for either good or bad. In our scripture this morning, something strange had happened, that people were left scratching their head. What had happened? According to Luke, two guys who had known Jesus were leaving Jerusalem and heading south to a town called Emmaus. This is a famous painting called The Walk to Emmaus. Now, they were saddened over the tragic events of the last 3 days, and while they had some time walking together, they began talking to each other, trying to make sense of what had happened to Jesus. You see, Jesus had come a little bit more than a week ago and was welcomed as the Messiah, the long-awaited one from God, the one whom God would send to set the Israelites free from Roman oppression. But the chief priests and teachers of the law had him condemned to death, and then he died. But the more confusing aspect of these events had just happened that morning. Some women went to the tomb he was placed in 3 days ago, and they found it empty. Not only did they find it empty, there were angels there. And finally, two disciples ran to the tomb and looked in, and indeed it was empty. What did all of it mean? Especially an empty tomb. On their journey, a stranger, someone they don't recognize, joins them and asks them what they're talking about. Read the response with me. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that that thank you. That have happened there in these days?" Now, you and I have the benefit of reading the story, so we know who it was that asked the question or who it was that had come up to them. And they couldn't believe that this other guy hadn't heard a thing, didn't know what was going on. "Where are you from? Mars?" Well, they wouldn't have known Mars. But where are you from? You see, Jesus had left them in the dark, so to speak. And at best we realize life has its ups and downs, and at times we just want to throw our hands up in the air as we try to figure out what is going on, what is happening in our lives. What causes these two cars to crash? Why is there a car on the sidewalk hurting people? And we note that in our own lives, we have what and why questions that we cannot answer. Why are things not going well at work? What's going on at home? It makes no sense. Why do I feel so alone? Where is God in all of this? And on top of that, we feel as though God is not there because we don't sense any response from God. God, where are you? And all of a sudden, we feel almost isolated from everyone else. And yet God is there. We always have to note, though we may not see or recognize Him, God is present. God is always present. Sharing in our journey. Why do we know this to be true? You see, God created us to share in this journey we call life. That God created us to be in relationship with us. God created us to be in relationship with us. God is always trying to speak to us, to help us to know Himself, to help us know Him and relate back to Him. Listen to how Jesus responds to these two travelers. Now remember, these two travelers are Jewish. They should know the scriptures. They should have been taught from birth all the way up to the age that they were to know the scriptures, to understand who God is and what God is doing. Jesus says, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And Jesus could have left it there with these two, but he goes on to say this. Read it with me. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I feel one of the biggest confusions in life when it comes to God is this idea of what the pages of the Bible say. What is this Bible say? For too many people see these pages and they cannot make heads or tails of it. And it's this. If you were to look at the Bible as a whole, this is what I would write in that one-line statement that you would find on Amazon about the book that is in the corner. And it would be this. The Bible is the story of God seeking to be in relationship with his creation. The Bible is the story of God seeking to be in relationship with his people, with his creation. What Jesus does here for these two disciples is to explain to them how he appears in the scriptures of the Old Testament, how it foretold of his coming, beginning with the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the third chapter of the first book of the Bible. Well, actually, Jesus is alluded to in the first chapter of the Bible. Did you know that? When God created, it says God created man in our image, alluding to more than one. But in the third chapter of Jesus, chapter of Genesis, Jesus is referred to as Eve's offspring or seed, who would crush Satan at some point in the future so that he no longer had power in this world. I wonder, what if our prayer this week was, "God, help me to understand the Bible better. Help me to understand what I'm reading today better. Show me in the Old Testament scriptures that pertain to Jesus." We have to note, I put in our notes a website for Jews for Jesus that pertain to some of the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus likely shared with these two disciples as they walked to Emmaus. In fact, I encourage you to do some reading this week from that website, looking at the scriptures, maybe even taking those scriptures that they show and underlining them, and then put in the margin Jesus, and then put the address of the next scripture and go to that and underline it and say Jesus. These are my Jesus scriptures in the Old Testament. It will show you how God had a plan, and how it would play out from very early on. You know, when we talk about sharing the journey, we share this journey we call life with God and with other Christians. God's main avenues are through the Bible and the Holy Spirit and the church, and really through each of us here to help us to know God better. And when we share this journey with other Christians, it's through the church and through other fellowship times, such as small groups, we begin to get to know God better. Because what you know, I may not know. And as we talk it out, we get to know who this God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. Barna Research, a Christian researching company, put out a statistical report called The Bible in America. It's put out this report for the last 6 years about specifically the Bible in America. The report shows that in May of 2016, the last report, that the Bible continues to be the best-selling book by far in America. And this report, in this six-year trend from 2011 to 2016, shows that 75% of all people strongly or somewhat agree that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life. 75% of all people believe that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life. That was in 2011. But in 2016, only 6 years later, that number has dropped down from 75% to 66%. Less people agree now. Only two-thirds agree from three-quarters. Only two-thirds agree now that the Bible contains everything a person needs to know to live a meaningful life. This shows an increase in people who are becoming increasingly more skeptical about the Bible. Yet in regard to reading the Bible, what is hopeful is that over this last six-year period, that over one-third of all people read the Bible at least once a week, not including any church activity. That at least 33% of all people read the Bible once a week. And nearly half of all people read the Bible at least once a month, not including church, not including any type of study. This shows that trend hasn't changed, even though more people are becoming skeptical. But this is held in place, the report says, by an older crowd who tends to read the Bible more than a younger crowd. And as these elders die out, Barna Research is concerned or is expecting these numbers to drop too. But right now it shows that people are still turning to the Bible with questions, looking and seeking answers from God in their life. My point being that the ability to grow your relationship with God, to deepen your journey with God, is deeply dependent upon being in God's Word. And as less people get into the Word, then less people are going to have a deeper relationship with God. And so I encourage you to continue to open your Bibles as often as possible so that you might know, love, and serve God as you share that journey with God and as you share that journey with each other. That you might more readily share all that God is doing in your life to those who are increasingly becoming skeptical. In that car accident where I was sitting in the bus, part of the conversation I had with the bus depot chief was this. After calling 911, the lady in the car is not moving. I had such a deep desire to get out of that bus and go check on her because no one else was. But I was stopped at the red light and the bus responder said, "You cannot leave the bus. You two have responsibility for those kids. And if you leave, who will have responsibility for them?" In our lives, we all have a deep yearning for God, a deep yearning to go and help others to know Christ. And either we open that door wide open and allow God to draw us into the Word, draw us into Christian studies, Bible studies, and the such, or we close that door. And we say, in essence, no, God. Or we say, God, you're not important enough to be in the Word, so no, God. You see, we either open the door or we close the door. But I know that there's a deep yearning in your heart, in your spirit, that cries out to God. And so we have to take that next step forward. We have to take that next step which will allow God to more fully utilize us. When I became a Christian, when I finally said to God, "Okay, God, I'm going to follow you. Your will is going to be my will. You're going to sit on the throne of my heart and I'm not. Whatever you want me to do is what I'll do." When that happened, I became more interested in the things of the Lord. I got into the Word. I started reading. God was speaking to me every time I opened up the pages of the Bible. Every time. A friend of mine, whom I knew in college, actually from the time I was 13 years old, had moved into the area, and we would visit every now and then. And I had to help my friend know Christ. And he knew I was going to church and I was playing softball. He had played Little League growing up. And I said to him, "Hey, why don't you come and play softball with us?" And I knew he liked playing ball. The relationship was already established. He was always going to be my friend. And so he became and started playing softball. The requirement to play softball on our team was that you needed to go to 3 services during the week or during the month. So he could go 3 Sundays, or he could get it all done in one Sunday. He could go to church Sunday morning, go to Sunday school, and then go to Sunday evening and get it over with. And he started coming, and he started meeting other Christians who he began to realize were okay people. But what he really started doing was he started opening up the pages of the Bible. And after a period of time, he wasn't meeting the minimum requirement. He was meeting the minimum requirement in one day, but doing it 4 times a month. You see, God had started speaking to him in his word, and he told me, when I asked about, at what point in time did you give your life to God? And it says, as I was reading through the scriptures, I realized, and God was speaking to him, that he needed to open up his life to God. See, you see, the Bible is very powerful. Very, very powerful. I think more powerful than the biggest bomb in the world. It will make more of a dent in a person's life than anything you ever read, anything you ever listen to, anything else you can ever do. God shares his journey with us and says, will you share your journey with me? Will you? Will you? Because God is just waiting. Let us pray. God, we thank you that not only is your grace good enough, that your grace is enough to see us through our days, but that you continue to draw us closer to yourself, that you continue to woo us to yourself. And Lord, when we open up your word, that you continue to speak to us and will speak to us throughout our days. All we need to do is be willing, be obedient. And so God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would draw us closer to yourself. God, that you would be great for us. And that you would speak to our hearts each and every day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.